The Lord be with you. Welcome to our first attempt at an online worship service. This is a new experience for all of us, not only in terms of canceling worship, but also because of the virus that is so widespread today. It's also a new experience because we're using some new software to accomplish this service, and we are having some challenges learning how to operate it. So please bear with us as we learn how to conduct an online service, record hymns, and proclaim God's word over the internet. So then we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will begin with the collect, the prayer of the day. Please pay close attention to this prayer because the message that you hear today will be on this prayer. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast to the unchangeable truth of your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Anne will read the first two lessons.
The Old Testament reading for today is Exodus 17, 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They were almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Mashah and Meribah, because the quarrelsome of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "This is the Lord among us or not." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading for today is Romans 5, 1 through 8. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that we are rejoicing in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For a while we were still weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. The woman from Samaria came down to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, You have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than your father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right, saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem this is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a short prayer that follows the Kyrie, or the absolution and confession, in our liturgy. It's called the Collect, or the Prayer of the Day. Have you ever wondered why it's part of the liturgy? Ever wondered what its purpose might be? It's called the Collect because it collects into one brief petition what we have asked to receive from God in the service for that day. It establishes a theme for the service and the message. This is the collect of our prayer for March 15th. We read it just a few minutes ago. I'll read it one more time. Please pay close attention to what your thoughts are as you hear the words. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In that brief prayer, we have asked God to be gracious to all who have gone astray, to bring them back so they once again embrace and hold fast to God's word. We are asking God to restore their faith. What a noble prayer. We are asking God to restore those who have strayed from his word. We are asking that they turn around, that they repent, that they once again embrace and hold fast to God's word, that they again have faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. My first thought when I read this prayer was of my sister, who I fear was led away from the faith by her ex-husband. I feel especially bad that she didn't bring her children up in the faith. So what did you think of when you heard that prayer? Perhaps, like me, you thought of a relative, a brother, a sister, child, grandchild. Many people have children, grandchildren, or even great-grandchildren who no longer attend worship. Many young adults today stopped coming to church after high school and never returned. Perhaps you thought of someone for whom you've been praying. Perhaps you thought of someone at work or at a business that you frequent. Perhaps you thought of a homeless person you saw recently who you are quite sure was not a Christian. Or perhaps you visualized some person in an alcoholic stupor or a narcotic haze. This prayer seems to address the person or persons who came to mind when you thought of them It seems to address people who have either left the church or never been part of it at all. It seems to address people who are living in darkness. There's a hymn in our hymnal that seems to fit this prayer for today's theme perfectly. It's number 839 in your hymnal, and if you were in church, I'd ask you to follow along, and if you happen to have a hymnal at home, you might want to still do that. It's hymn number 839. It's called, O Christ, Our True and Only Light. Here are the first of the five verses. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Fill the radiance of your grace the souls now lost in error's maze. Enlighten those whose inmost minds some dark delusion haunts and blinds. O gently call those gone astray that they may find the saving way. Let every conscience sore oppressed in you find peace and heavenly rest. Shine on the darkened and the cold. Call the wonders to your fold. Unite all those who walk apart. Confirm the weak and doubting heart. That they with us may evermore such grace with wondering thanks adore. And endless praise to you be given by all your church in earth and heaven. That hymn was written by a man named John Hierman. He was one of the church's most prolific hymn writers. He lived from 1585 to 1647, some years after the Reformation. The words to this hymn he found in a poem book that he happened to pick up. What he didn't know, however, was the poem was written by a man named Peter Brillmacher. Peter Brillmacher was a Catholic priest. It was he who was calling the Reformation back to the Catholic Church. The souls now lost, about whom he wrote, were the Lutherans and the Protestants who had broken away from the Catholic Church in the Reformation. We are the ones lost in error's maze. It is on us that he asks the light to shine. Brillmacher's poem was directed at us, the Lutherans and the Protestants of the Reformation. That brings me to the point of the message today. Today is the third Sunday in Lent. Lent is a time of returning to God, a time of refocusing on God's Word, a time of increasing our faith. On Ash Wednesday, we heard Joel speaking for God, Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. It's not just your relative who needs to come back to God. It's not just that person for whom you've been praying who needs to come back to God. It's not that homeless person addicted to drugs or alcohol who needs to come back to God. It's you and I who need to come back to God as well. Joel's words call us back to God to repent and to seek God's forgiveness. And why should we do that? We can do that without fear and with confidence. Because Joel answers that question too. He says, Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He relents over disaster. And so today we pray that God would be gracious to all, including us who have gone astray from his ways, that he would bring them and us with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, that we too would embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. And we pray, too, that in mercy and grace, he would lead us through the next few weeks, which may be difficult. The pandemic we face, that he would have mercy on the people of the world, that he would protect and keep us all safe, that he would use the present tribulation to his glory as he calls us back once again to faith. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we continue with the prayer of the church, praying for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, though we are undeserving of not only your mercy and grace, but also of your tending to our daily needs, we give you thanks that you provide all we need for this body and life, health for the soul, peace for the mind, strength for the body, forgiveness of sin, freedom from condemnation, and a genuine heart gifted for service. Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, we ask of your boundless mercy that you would grant peace and calm to the fears of people around the world as we face the reality of the coronavirus. Open the eyes of unbelievers to see it as another warning that the day of the Lord will someday come. May this pandemic bring good to the world, that many souls may be brought to faith in you. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, grant your healing to those we name before you today. Dan, Dolores, Paula, Piper, Xavier, Vern, Tom, and Bon. Comfort those who are homebound, especially those who are in quarantine. Fred, Violet, Audrey, Weldon, Pat, Bonnie, Vi, Jackie, Dick, and Shirley. We pray especially for Denny and Karen as they have concern for Denny's brother who is now in hospice. Make your healing and loving presence known to each of these your servants, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and most gracious God and Father, we implore you to turn the hearts of all who have forsaken the faith once delivered to your church, especially those who have wandered from it or are in doubt through the corruption of your truth. Mercifully visit and restore them, that in the gladness of heart they may take pleasure in your word and be made wise to salvation. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray too that during this Lenten season you would restore each of us to a stronger faith that is more focused on you and your word. We pray for your continued blessings as we follow you to the cross. Lord, in your mercy. In this season of Lent, continue to open our ears to hear your word, to repent of sin, and to be drawn to the cross of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all who commune at this altar today. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the road rise to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the sun shine warmly upon your face, and the rains fall softly upon your field. And until we meet again, may the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. That concludes our service. A couple of things for you to be aware of. We will not be having a service this Wednesday night, but be looking for a service similar to this online, and I will be sending out emails to let you know about that. I will do my best to keep you informed and to check your email regularly to be up on the latest in terms of whether we have services and when. Also, please feel free to provide your feedback on how we can improve these online services. This is something completely new for us, and the current learning curve is really pretty steep. With that, we offer our dismissal. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.